Now, if you're visiting here, just kind of wave your hand in the air, amen. Wave them like you just don't care, amen. Hallelujah. Is that Minister Duck? Come on. Hallelujah. And so, glory to God. We want to welcome our visitors and say that we have some little visitor bags for you, amen, in the foyer by the visitor center. We also want to welcome those who tune in live stream via the internet. They just got an unexpected blessing just now, amen. And so we praise God for them, amen. And so he's releasing, James Malvo is releasing that single, amen. And so it's going to be available to purchase soon, amen. And so I've been jamming it. My kids been jamming it, man. And so my kids are like, that's fire, that's fire. You know, and I'm like, oh, yeah, it must be fire, you know. And so it's just a blessing, man. And so let's get cranked up, y'all. We'll turn our Bibles to Second Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And while you're on your way to 2 Chronicles, just want to, amen, just reiterate that we are in a fasting time as a church. Amen. We're currently on a 21-day fast. And it's just been awesome. It's just been awesome spiritually. Amen. Just to be able to hear God, to be able to pray, to be able to read his word. Amen. And so I can feel the spiritual energy, amen, just moving through the body parts of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. There's fire shut up in our bones. Amen. Because of this fasting period. And not only that, amen, we will be doing evening prayer this Thursday. And while you're fasting, it's a good time to come on in and pray with the body. Amen. Because I'm believing that, hallelujah, not only is God going to open doors, amen, but he's going to work miracles during this fast, amen, miracles, amen, so you don't want to miss it. Come and get your miracle on Thursday, amen. Not only that, amen, we're continuing with our health initiative, amen, trying to get the Hebrews fit, and so we'll be doing volleyball, amen. The games were supposed to be on Sunday, hallelujah, but we switched them to Saturdays, and so your coach is going to be able to get with you and tell you, amen, the time slot you're playing in. But we're going to be playing Saturday at Northside High, amen. Somebody was blessed enough to get a hookup on the gym. Somebody said hookup. They got a hookup on the gym. And so we're just so grateful, hallelujah, because of that. You got something for me, Miss Lynn? Thank you so much, sister. Hallelujah. All right, Aaliyah Watkins, Timothy Jackson from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Come on, give God some glory for Biara. Biara in the house, amen. And so we praise God for you visiting with us, amen. So we'll be playing Saturday, amen. Do we know which gym we playing in yet, y'all? Okay, so we're going to be in the girls' gym, amen, playing some volleyball together on Saturday. It's most probably going to be Saturday morning. Amen. Not too early, but not too late. And we're going to have some fun. Amen. Love, you got anything else? All right. Let me know if you think of something. All right. Okay. So it's just this Saturday? Okay. Okay. So the games will be this Saturday, but don't look at it as being a rule. It's an exception. So we should be going back to Sundays. But we'll let you know how it goes. Amen. We might like it on Saturday. We never know. So we'll see. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. I'm going to read a few, y'all, but we're going to be trying to look at most of this chapter tonight. Amen. Let's look at 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat. Somebody say Jehoshaphat. They came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat, that was the Lord right there. That was the Most High. Let me tell you, Hazazan? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And guess what he did? He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh up against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Woo! Hallelujah! I don't even know if I got to preach this thing. It's fire just looking at it in the Bible. But we're going to do our best tonight with the help of the Spirit of God, amen, to preach this great text. Father, we thank you so much, God, for your Bible and how real it is and how exciting it is and how potent it is. We thank you that your word already in us is like fire shut up in our bones. Now, God, release your anointing, God, to break yokes, to destroy the works of the adversary, to loose the heavy burden, to heal, God, to set the captives free. Save, sanctify, anoint, and break through in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Amen. If I had to put a title on tonight's message, amen, we would call it Jehoshaphat's Fast. Jehoshaphat's Fast. And let me give you just a little, amen, context, amen. I'm going to try my best to move as quick as I can. You see, after Solomon had sinned against the Lord by having strange wives, which ultimately led him to begin to worship strange gods, the Lord divided the kingdom of Israel. He divided it into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom represented the 10 tribes, amen, of Israel. They would come to be known as Israel. And the southern kingdom represented the 2 tribes left over, which was Judah, who you are, and Benjamin. Amen. And that was called the southern kingdom, or they would just call it Judah or Judea. And this is where we get the whole thing where they would call them the Jews. It was from Judah. Call us Judah. You see? All right. There were, hallelujah, wicked kings in the north. Almost all of them was apostate, idolatrous, amen, and just reprobate. All right. However, the southern kingdom, Judah, hallelujah, and Benjamin had some good kings, and then, of course, they had some bad kings, too. Okay? Out of all the kings of Judah, there were 3 exceptional kings. 3 exceptional kings. They were so exceptional that when God described them, amen, he would describe them using, as comparing and contrasting, the greatest king that Israel would ever have, that would be none other than David. And so when God would compare these 3 great kings, amen, he would say, amen, they did like unto my servant David. All right? It was only 3 kings that had the honor of being called like David by the Most High. They would be, number 1, Hezekiah. Number 2, Josiah. And number three, who we are studying tonight, none other than Jehoshaphat. We see God saying it in 2 Chronicles 17:3. The Bible says, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David." Because we know that no man is perfect, and David wound up falling in the matter of Bathsheba. And so God is clear to delineate that, hallelujah, Jehoshaphat walked in which ways? The first ways. The first ways. Before David had fallen. Before he had sinned. When his heart was on fire for God. Jehoshaphat walked in the first ways of David and sought not unto Balaam. You see? In 2 Chronicles 17:6, the Bible says, "And Jehoshaphat's heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places, the groves out of Judah." Jehoshaphat went on a serious revival movement in Judah. Began to take away all the idols and take away all, as they would call, the groves and the high places. Everywhere Judah was worshiping something that was not God, Jehoshaphat came through and put him right back in check. He was a reformer. He was a reviver of the nation, our nation, amen, of Israel. Because of this devotion, amen, God blessed Jehoshaphat. Blessed him with so much prosperity. You see, because, Jen, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You can't seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness without all these things being added unto you. So blessings naturally follow, amen, a reformer like Jehoshaphat. And so in 2 Chronicles 17:5, the Bible says, "Therefore the Lord, he established the kingdom of Jehoshaphat in Jehoshaphat's hand. And all Judah," what did they do? "Brought to Jehoshaphat," what? "Presents. And he had," what? "Riches and honor and abundance." All right? Jehoshaphat was blessed. And he was righteous and he served the Lord. You see? He built cities and castles and fortifications. And in 2 Chronicles 17:13 tells us, "And he had much business in the cities of Judah." Huh? And not only that, and the men of war, the mighty men of valor that were in Jerusalem. Some historians say that, hallelujah, Jehoshaphat had a million-man army of some of the most fittest, strongest, fastest Hebrews on the face of the planet. All right? Somebody say Jehoshaphat. But even in all of that, even in him serving the Most High, being prosperous and blessed, amen, how many people know that trouble still come upon the blessed of the Most High? All right? We can serve him. We can be all about the Lord. Amen. We can be prosperous. Amen. But that does not exempt us from trouble. See, trouble find everybody, Mike. You see what I'm saying? Look at Job. Trouble found Job. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about a trial of Jehoshaphat's faith. All right. A trial that almost broke him apart. Almost took his life. Almost took everything that God blessed him with. A trial. And so we'll talk about the trial and how Jehoshaphat reacted to the trial. I'm praying that I could finish it all, y'all. All right, if I don't, I'm going to have to save it till next Tuesday, God spare. But that's not what I want to do. It's not what I want to do. Right? All right? I'm going to have a few points, several points. But let's begin with our first one. The problem. The problem. The problem. Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazan Tamar," which is in Gedi. All right? So here we have the problem, y'all. Three armies from three different nations got together to come and do battle against Jehoshaphat. It was Moab, it was Ammon, and it was the Edomites, Mount Seir. And we'll see that in the text a little bit later. One of them would have been enough, amen, to fight against Jehoshaphat, to wage war and have a good war against Jehoshaphat. But three of them come up against him. You see? And if anybody ever been in a fight before, amen, it's enough to concentrate on one, than to be trying to concentrate on two. If anybody been jumped before, I've been jumped before, so listen. And you got one come up on your mic, and you say, oh, boy, I got this, boy. You see? That's before my pastoring day. You see what I'm saying? Well, I got this. My Lord, you be like, oh, I got this. Well, I got this. Then they steal you. They say, oh, you want some too? Then they steal you this way. Wait up now. It don't help when you bar run either. Kid know what I'm talking about. Listen to me. Jehoshaphat had a problem, y'all. They're trying to jump your ball. And not two. How many? Three. All right? And when you get that deep down into it, that was his people. See, Mount Seir come from Esau. Jacob and Esau. Ammon and Moab, they come from Lot. Abraham and Lot. These are relatives. Sometimes your relatives can be the worst one. Let me keep on going. Let me keep on going. All right. All right. All right. And so Jehoshaphat get the message. Somebody come in. And they don't tell him the right way. Bible says in verse 2 that they told Jehoshaphat a great multitude. Somebody say a great multitude. Can you give me a number, please? Because when you come in there like that, a great multitude, you know what your imagination could do? They got 1 billion people out there. A great multitude, too many to number, too many to handle. Bigger than you've ever seen, bigger than you ever fought, hallelujah. And guess what? Jehoshaphat, they by Engedi, by Hazazan, yeah, Tamar. All right, I got a little map to show you where Engedi is. All right, and Engedi is across the water. It's across. You see, they would be on this other side. That's cool. Be on the other side of the Jordan River. Be on the other side of the Dead Sea. No, they had already crossed. They're on your street. They're on your street. They're across the street. It's a great multitude, and you don't have much time. They right there. We got a problem, man. 3 armies, man. All right? And this multitude to me, these 3 armies represent things in our lives, problems in our lives. All right? All right? They represent to me, hallelujah, people that we might have trouble with. Might represent to me a predicament that we find ourselves being in. Might represent to me pain that we're going through. Huh? 3 armies coming at us at one time. You see, it could be people, because sometimes you do people right and they come back and wrong again. All right? Could be a predicament, amen. Could be bills. Could be lack of a job. Could be some addiction you're fighting with. Could be some charge that you're looking at coming back to get you, amen. You got some trouble with the law, amen. Could be pain, huh? Physical pain. You got a sickness that you're dealing with. You come to church smiling, but nobody know what you go through when you're at home and you're in that bed. It's a problem. And believers go through problems too. You see, if it's not a physical sickness, maybe it's an emotional sickness, emotional pain you're going through. Sadness and depression, grief of loss of loved ones, loneliness, nobody there for you. You see, anxiety. It's so bad you won't take your life. You want to hurt somebody or hurt yourself. That's what Jehoshaphat found himself in. Problems. And believers go through problems. And I could see Jehoshaphat saying, man, God, I'm trying to do right. Seems like when I try to do right, evil is always present. Seems like when I try to serve you the most, that's what, God, you see what I'm reforming. You see what I'm doing in Judah. Now you got 3 armies coming against me? They ain't coming against Ahab down the street like that, but they're coming against me. You see? Trouble happens to all. The saved and the unsaved. But watch this. The difference is, the saved, they know how to handle trouble. Woo! Point number 2, the fast. Y'all still up? The fast. The fast. Look at the verse right at verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared, let's keep it real, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. You see, the Bible keep it real with us about the men of God. It don't sugarcoat it. It's not Hollywood. It's not trying to paint somebody that's too good. and keep it real. So the Bible is saying this awesome man of God was afraid when three come at him like that. And he had right to be afraid. He had right because he could lose his life. He could lose everything that he had. He could lose all the revival that he got going in Judah. Amen. It's a big situation. The Bible said Jehoshaphat feared. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody get afraid. All right? All right? Some of the biggest brothers, biggest, baddest brothers, amen, hallelujah, if they tell you they don't get afraid, they lie. But watch this. Watch this. It's what you do when you get afraid. Come on, John, you know what I'm saying? See, because when we get afraid, we get nervous, amen. A lion's supposed to come out. It's supposed to say, oh, no, I ain't, oh, no. All right? Now, let's watch what Jehoshaphat do. Yeah, he got afraid. All right? And this should be an automatic switch in your character, in your heart, Christian. When you fear that fear come in unto you like a flood, hallelujah, you need to do what Jehoshaphat did. The Bible said Jehoshaphat feared, and what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. Oh, yeah, that spirit of fear coming upon me? I'm going to hit my knees. I'm going to hit my knees. You see, it don't say he sought himself. Or sought his friends. Remember, I told you that Jehoshaphat had probably a million man army. He could have trusted in himself, y'all. He had money. He could have hired out mercenaries from Egypt or paid some foreign nation to come, and hallelujah, now he got three and they got three. But you see, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we're going to trust in the name of our God. Anybody hear me up in here? That's Jehoshaphat, man. He said, nah. I ain't trusting in myself and what I got, and I'm not trusting in nobody else. You see, when we get in trouble, we want to look to ourselves first before we hit our ground, before we hit the ground. Are we going to call up our girl or call up our boy or call up this one and call up that one before we call up the Most High God? Josiah set himself to seek the Lord. How did he do it? He proclaimed a fast. He proclaimed a fast. The same fast that we on, y'all. He proclaimed a fast. You see, I don't know what kind of fast he did, y'all. But I love that the Bible don't tell us. It don't tell us what kind or how long. You see, because to me, it really don't matter what kind. And it really don't matter to me how long. He could have fasted a day. He could have fasted 3 days. He could have fasted a Daniel 21 days. It's not how long you fast or what kind of fast. It's just that you, child of God, should fast. Woo! He proclaimed a fast. You see? He said, man, I know what I'm going to do about these problems. Well, yeah, I'm going to get on my knees. And guess what? I'm going to deny my flesh. All right? Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes you got to put a fast on it. Come on, give God some glory in this house. All right? Point number three, the prayer. The prayer. Sometimes you got to put a fast on it. All right? You mess around looking at others, looking at yourself, trying to make yourself, you know, seek the Lord. All right? In verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. He probably built that. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? All right? So the first thing we see Jehoshaphat do in verse 4, he gathers Judah together. He not only called a fast, but he called them together to do what? To pray. You see, some don't go out but by prayer and fasting. See, it's not just fasting, though. See, some of y'all, prophetically, you're just fasting, but you're not praying enough. You see, to make them go out, it's got to be prayer coupled with fasting. It's prayer and fasting. All right? That's your word for tonight. You're not praying enough. You're not in the closet enough. You're not on your face enough. You're not praying before you go to bed enough. You're not coming to noonday prayer enough. You're not coming to Thursday prayer enough. It's prayer and fasting. And Jehoshaphat knew that, y'all. So he gathered them together. You see? He didn't gather to shoot marbles. He didn't gather to gossip, to shoot. He gathered to pray. And when we look at Jehoshaphat's prayer, it's amazing. He does a few things, y'all, in that prayer. He remembers God's preeminence. Watch this. He remembers God's preeminence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all can put that up. He remembers God's preeminence. And that's in verse 5. Hallelujah. He says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court. Verse 6. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over what? All the kingdoms of the heathen. He's saying, God, you sovereign. You sovereign. Then he says, and in thy hand is not there power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He's saying, God, you're not only sovereign, you reign and rule over everything. You omnipotent. You the most powerful. You are almighty. If any power is in the earth, it's got to come from you. We can't breathe without you. He's magnifying the Lord, lifting the Lord up. And this is important, TP. See, anytime you got a problem, it's important to go to the Lord in worship before you even ask the Lord something in prayer. Anybody hear me? You say, why? You see, something happens to our problem when we describe who God is to us. You see, when you can't pay a bill and you say you are all powerful. God, LUS get their power from you, God. Slimco get their power from you, God. God, they could turn the lights off, but if you speak a word, my lights will run without LUS, God. You, hallelujah. Anybody hear me up in here? When you magnify the Lord, your problems seem so much smaller. So that's how you start off prayer. Tell the Lord who he is and what he's worth to you. He remembers the preeminence of God. Verse 7, he remembers the past victories of our God. All right? When you got a problem and you praying during this fast, amen, this is an awesome, awesome thing to do. Worship the Lord, tell him who he is, but remember what God has already done for you. All right? Remember what he's already done for you. In verse 7, he says, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? He said, God, you're the same God brought us out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, rained bread from heaven. You knocked down the walls of Jericho. You defeated the men of Ai. Through Joshua, you went through the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Termites, the Parasites, and every other ite there was. You ain't worried about these three armies, God. You've already beat all of them. You got to remember your past victories. You see, there's nothing like recapping what God has already done in your life. It do something for you. You see, we overcome by the word of our testimony. And sometimes you got to encourage yourself. Sometimes you got to tell yourself your testimony, what God has already done for you. I'm telling you something here. If you're in a fix, if you got some problem, begin to encourage yourself. You see, David was great at it. That's why the Bible said, when none of his men encouraged him, David, he did what? He encouraged himself. We saw a snapshot of that when he was right about to go fight Goliath. Huh? And Saul was like, you think that you could do this? Oh, Saul, wait, you don't know. The same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear shall deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. He reviewed his past victories for faith for future success. And that's what you got to do. You got to go back with that problem of sickness and look how the Lord had healed you already. You got to say, back pain, you ain't nothing. I've been healed of something way worse than back pain. Hey, God, little migraine, you ain't nothing. You wasn't there when the Lord got me up out that sick bed when they thought that I was going to die. All right? Little Cardinal, you ain't nothing. You wasn't there when I was home and didn't have a place to stay. When my house was about to be forfeited, foreclosed on, and God came up. You see? You got to remember past victories. You see? That old song we sing, it says, I've seen you move. You move mountains. And I believe I'll see you do it again. Y'all want to sing that with me right quick? Y'all want to sing that with me right quick? Huh? Y'all want to sing that with me? All right, on three. I've seen you move. Yeah, what you move? You move mountains, and I believe. Come on, come on. I'll see you do it again. You made a way. Huh?
When there was no
come on, come on. And I believe. Come on. I'll see you do. You made a way. You made a way. You made a way. Come on, there was no way. When there was no way. And I believe. Come on, come on, I'll see you. That's what your ass been doing. You mean, oh, y'all cutting up, y'all cutting up. Come on, come on. Hey, hey, I'll see you do it again. Hallelujah. Sound booth, y'all get Grace Mike on. I need some help. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me up in here? That's what you're going to prayer with. I've seen you move. Say nothing I heard. I've seen you move. And I believe I'll see you do it again. Come on, give God some glory. In verse 8, then he goes into the promises of God. He goes straight into the promises of God. In his prayer, he remembers God's preeminence. He remembers his past victories that the Lord wrought for him. But he also remembers God's promises. And we see it, hallelujah, in verse, hallelujah. Look at it, verse 8, hallelujah. And he says, and they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein. God, you gave them the land. They built a sanctuary for thy name. In verse 9. And in that sanctuary, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. And if we cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. What most people don't know is that Jehoshaphat is telling God what God had already said. He was reminding God of God's promise. He's bringing God back, amen, to 2 Chronicles. Hallelujah. Chapter 7, verse 12. And this is when Solomon had just built the temple. And Solomon had offered all kind of oxen and all kind of animals, amen. And that was when the cloud of glory had entered up the temple to where they couldn't even have church because the Shekinah was so thick. And the Lord spoke to Solomon. Solomon had prayed, God, we know that heaven can't contain you. And the earth is your footstool. But Lord, just look on this house. And when we pray, when we're in trouble, when we look, when we pray at this house, when we're in trouble, just hear us. And if they remove us from our land, if we turn to face the house, just hear us, God. And God answered Solomon in 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Woo! God says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Ooh, you see the context there. Jehoshaphat was quoting the same scripture you quote. And in verse 15 of Chronicles, he says, God tells Solomon, now mine eyes shall be opened. And mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Jehoshaphat knew the promise, went to the place, prayed, and reminded God what thus saith the Lord. Oh, God have mercy. See, there's nothing like praying God's promises. It does two things. It increases our faith because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. But it also tells God, you know the word of God, you know what he promised to you, and you're coming for delivery of the check that God had wrote to you. Woo! And God don't bounce no checks. That's why it's important for you to know the word, to be able to pray the word. You get yourself a promise about your particular situation, and you go into the high heavens, and you pray unto the Most High, worshiping his preeminence, reviewing past victories, but also reminding him of his promises. God, you said, right? When I was in my prayer closet on the way here, I said, God, I got a whole lesson, but if there was one thing you wanted me to say to your people, that your people would get tonight, if they would not listen to anything else and leave out of here, amen, if they left with one thing, what would you tell them, God? God told me to tell you. He says, tell them, my promise still stands. He said, tell them my promise, it still stands. You see, the rest of the song, if we ready to sing again, the rest of the song says, hallelujah. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hand. This is my confidence. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You've never failed. Let's do that again. Hallelujah. Your promise.
Your promise still.
Come on, somebody.
Great.
He's so faithful, y'all. He's so faithful. This is what he wants you to know. Hallelujah. I'm still. Come on.
I'm still in your hands. This is my comfort.
You've never failed me.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah! That's what he told me to tell you. Whatever you're going through, whatever kind of problem you have right now, he's never failed us yet. Are you listening to me up in here? And after he goes through the preeminence of God, he remembers the past victories of God, and he begins to pray God's promises. I'm telling you here. He tells Daddy what's wrong. He tells God the problem. And he don't go through some type of repetitious prayer right here. He tells God exactly what's going on with him and the situation and how they're coming up on him trying to jump him. And he pours out his heart unto the Most High God. And he tells him in verse 10, he says, look here. He says, and now God, he's about to pray. After all of that, he says, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, that's the Edomites, Esau, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. You see, when they came out of Egypt, God didn't allow them to invade their cousins. He said, leave that alone. That's Lot people. That's hallelujah. That's Esau and people. Leave that alone. Just go through. Just go through. Don't invade them. And Israel could have whipped them up back then. All right? Could have whipped them up back then. And now Jehoshaphat, he's pouring out his heart. He's pouring out his complaint because sometimes you could be good to people and they not be good to you. I found sometimes some people, the more you love them, the more they hate you. The better you are to them, the more, hallelujah, they stab you in the back. Listen to me now. So he's pouring out his complaint unto the Most High. He said, God, we was good to them. We didn't even invade them. You see? He says, but when they came out of the land of Egypt, he said, but they turned from them. And we destroyed them not. Verse 11, behold, I say, how they reward us for what we done did them good. To come to cast us out of your possession. God, they coming to cast us out of the land that you gave us, which thou hast given us to inherit. You see, he tells God the problem, y'all. Do you pour out your heart to God? Do you tell God everything you're feeling and everything that you're going through? Are you real with God? Now, I'm not talking about that foolish realness, how some people be disrespectful to God and curse God. That's how the heathen pray. The Hebrews don't pray like that. You know, God will stop your blood from flowing Pour out your heart, but remember he's God. And every now and then if you get loud, you say, with all due respect. But the Bible says, cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cared for you. I know about you, but anybody that's a daddy or mom in here, I want to hear everything my children feeling. You tell me. Now be respectful, but tell me. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Then in his prayer, he does something so profound. He declares his dependence upon God. It's profound because Jehoshaphat is in a strong place right now. He's wealthy. Amen. He's got men. He's got cities. But even in his human wealth and strength, he still declares his dependence. And he says that in verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Look what he says. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. This is how you're supposed to pray to God. You tell God, God, I'm helpless without you. I'm not strong enough. You say, God, hallelujah, I don't know what to do. I'm ignorant in this area, God. You see, we are helpless, we are ignorant, and then Jehoshaphat comes and he says, our hope is in you. We ain't got no place else to go. Whom have we in heaven but thee, and there's none on earth that we desire but you, O God, O Lord. Where else can we turn? He declares his dependence. He says, we are without might, so we turn to the Almighty. We are ignorant, so we turn to the one who knows all things. We are hopeless, so we turn to you for our hope. You see? I feel it when you fast and pray like that, like Jehoshaphat prayed, God gonna answer you. Ooh! Come on, give him some praise for that. You got to give him some praise for that, because he's not a God that just sit there and listen to your complaints. No, he gonna move. I've seen you move. Anybody hear me up in here? I love that when I pray, my daddy hears me. The Bible calls him the God that heareth prayer. Huh? In the days of Abraham, they would call him, hallelujah, Yahweh Roi, the God that sees. He hears what we're going through. He sees our trouble and our tribulation. So from the firmament where he is, he could see Jehoshaphat praying, declaring his total dependence. The king of Judah declaring his dependence upon God. God, I'm nothing. The Bible says, amen, that when you humble yourself, God going to exalt you. Prayer works, y'all. We try to teach our children as much we can about prayer. God bless the truth. Because we want, when we long and gone, amen, that the intercessory of Judah would continue. We want to raise up prayer warriors in the home. You see, a pastor's job is to take a prayerless people and make a prayerful people. All right? A people who don't know the word to a people who know the word of God. That's my job as a pastor. But if I'm not doing that in my own home, then it's not real. Anybody hear me up? It's not real. If I'm not touching the ones closest to me to know the word, to know how to pray, then it's not real. What you see is would be a facade. So one day we had a situation arise, an emergency of sorts, and we got it on video. I just didn't call you for the video. We shot on time anyway. But we recorded it because we want Lil Mar to always remember this. The Noels had bought him a little airplane, styrofoam little airplane. It's the new kind of airplane. See, I'm into the ones that you fold and you lick and you throw, you know what I'm saying? But that little thing had a little engine on there. I said, my old buddy, he said, Brazen bought me that. Brazen, that's his boy, you know? So we outside, man, and I throw that little thing out. I think it's just gonna fly, you know, just a little short flight or whatever like that. Man, that thing got some little engines on the back of that. So that thing is flying. Just one of me and Omar's favorite things to do, you know what I'm saying? Flying that little plane. And so one day we flying it, and he really going off with it. Turning that little thing, that thing is passing close by my head and everything. All right, he go off. All right? And then he began to fly it high. He was going high, like above the trees. And I was like, oh, goodness, how high is it going to go, that little thing? All right? And before I could say, well, more, I think we should, you know, shut it down and let it come back on down, it got caught in a tree. And it was our first day playing with it. I was like, I was more hurt than him. So, man, we go in the house, man, and, you know, we just looking, and mama looking at us. I said, ooh, we messed up, baby, we messed up. And I'm like, ooh, I'm going to have to ask Brian where he got that from. And so something crossed my mind. Pray. So we got together, and we locked hands, and I didn't know, but his mama was videoing, because I wanted to show him, Keith. I wanted to show him. I've seen you move. Woo! You move a mountain. So we lock hands. She recorded. I don't even know she recorded. So I'm praying, and he praying. And we like, God, get it out that tree. Ain't nothing to you, God. You could shake the whole earth right now. I've seen you move. So, Miss Kitty, we out there, we praying. We locking hands, we praying. So we go out there after we pray, it's still in the tree. Let's keep it real, all right? Go out there the next day. Guess what? Still in the tree. By that evening, I said, I'm about, just about had it. I was about to get my basketball, my football, my baseball, my bat, my deer stand. I was going to get that. You see, because sometimes when we're trying to teach our children prayer, we want to answer the prayer for God. Don't get caught up into that. Don't get caught up into answering their prayers. So, Mike, right when I was about to get my baseball and my football and everything else, I was going to chop down a tree if I had to. God, I'm going to show you faithful. And look, God spoke to me as clear as day. God said, you ain't got to do nothing. He said, I'm going to do it. Ooh, cool. He put me in check. I said, yes, sir. He said, no, because if you do it, his faith going to be in you. We got children who have more faith in their parents than they have in God. No, I'm not. So after he told me that, I went in. I said, babe, guess what God told me? He said, let me do it. So the day passed. And a day came, Dad, watch this. A storm came through. And the rain and the willows blew. You understand what I'm saying? And it got to a place, Brother Elmo, where I had forgotten about it. I rested. All right? And mama coming home from school or whatever like that, and she, because you see, it wasn't in our tree, it was in a neighbor's tree. And so I was going to be really breaking the law, trying to climb their tree and stuff. You know, they come outside, black man in their tree. How that's going to be? So it was great that God did it. So a storm come through, y'all. I forgot about it. My wife walked in the house. She come in there with a soaking wet little airplane. She said, God did it. God did it. I've seen you move. Woo! Move a mountain. Listen, man. And I kind of wiped it off. And the thing about it is for him to break it down and bring it down and it don't work because it had been in the rain the whole day. But let me see. Let me show you how you do it. Huh? I believe. I charged that little thing up. Before he got home, I didn't want to give it to him if it didn't work. It wouldn't make my Lord look good. The Lord said, I'm be the shade over your right hand. He not only knocked it out the tree, but kept it dry enough so that when it charged up, I put that little engine went, yeah. I said, oh, you're mighty, 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 mighty miracle working, mountain moving, sea splitting, bread raining from heaven, Jericho wall knocking down type of a God. Hallelujah. It meant so much to me because my son was waiting on his word. Say, don't you ever doubt me. You ain't got to move from me. My promise still stands. We even videoed his response. Hey, amen. We're not going to share that with you right now. But God answered the prayer. All right. Point number four. Jehoshaphat prayed and God answered. He sent a prophet. Point number four is the prophet. All right? In verse 14, then upon Jehazahel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Remember, they was all gathered together. They were praying, and then the Spirit fell right after Jehoshaphat finished praying. And the Spirit fell on a man of God by the name of Jehazahel. When you look up his name, Jehazahel, it means Yah sees. Ooh, God have mercy. His name means God sees. All right? He was of the Levite. He was a priest. But he was also from the sons of Asaph. Pastor was the sons of Asaph. He was a worshiper. He was a worshiper. I wish we have some men of God in here who were some prophets and some worshipers. We would call our little men's team the sons of Asaph. They got the daughters of Zion. I wish we had the sons of Asaph, minister. What, the men can't sing for the Lord? God ain't been good to us? We can't hold a note for the Lord? I'll be back up if I could. Why we get up here and just Carlos and Brian? What was the deal? We ain't got nothing to sing about. This man was a prophet and he was a worshiper. Man of God, get ready. Worship gonna call on you. Worship gonna call on you. Worship gonna call on you. And isn't that amazing that God would speak to a worshiper? Out of all the men and women that was in the congregation praying, the Spirit of God moving on all of them, he gave a word to the worshiper who was a prophet. The Bible says in 15, and he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Come on, give God some glory in his house. So the Spirit come on the prophet and he speaks. And I love this, you see, because real prophets are quiet most of the time. Got people that claim to be prophets, but they talking all the time. They either not a real prophet or they don't know how prophecy works. Back in the days of the early church fathers, they say false prophets talked a lot. But real prophets were quiet people who didn't even want to talk in public most of the time. And would only talk, as the Bible says, when the Spirit of God came upon them. Here's a word to all the prophets in here. Pastor, you can't tell me what to do. I'm a prophet. Nah, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Listen to me. All prophets in here, listen. Stop all that talking. And talk when the Spirit of God move on. Woo! Now I got another word for you. Open your mouth when the Spirit of God moves. Don't you remain silent sitting in there when you know you got a word? What if that man would have stayed silent when Jehoshaphat needed a word from the Most High? He that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, specifically the prophets that's in the house. Told Jehoshaphat in verse 15, don't be afraid. God knew he was scared. And he said, here's the reason. Now I'm going to stop at this point. I'm going to just have to pick up Tuesday. But here's the reason. He says, the battle is not yours. But it's the Lord's, it's God's. You see, whatever you're going through tonight, that's the word that the Lord wants me to tell you. Whether it's people that's giving you trouble, whether it's a predicament that you find yourself in that's giving you trouble, whether it's some pain in your body, some pain in your mind, some pain that you're going through in your heart and in your spirit, listen to me. That battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. If you would just learn to do what Jehoshaphat did, seek the Lord. Put a fast on it. What you're going to be doing is putting it in God's hands. And once you put something in God's hands, you can rest in God. Rest assured that God's going to take care of his business. That's my life, y'all. I live a life, amen, of giving it to God. I live a life, amen, no matter what it is. If it's a bill, if it's a problem, amen, hallelujah, we give it to the Lord. If it's a person, we give it to the Lord. We've come to understand that, listen to me, it's not our fight, y'all. It's God's fight. You see? Now God tells Jehoshaphat in verse 16 exactly where the enemy going to be. He said, you're going to see him. Look at here. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook there before the wilderness of Jaruh. Somebody say Jaruh. He told them exactly where he was going to be. God said, that's where they're going to be. All right? In 17, ye shall not need to fight. I love that. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. And what God is saying, you ain't gonna need to fight what you're going through. All you gotta do is show up. He said, just show up. Whatever you need, whatever you're going through, whatever you're praying for, he said, you just show up. You show up and God gonna show out. He said, you shall not need to fight. That's been my testimony. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and do what? And see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you? O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Come on, give God some glory in this house. I can't do it. Listen. I gotta put it in park right here. Listen, I got to put it in park. It's too much to continue. You see, but we're gonna pick up Tuesday. You see, because we're gonna see exactly what God do for Jehoshaphat. He answer him and he give him a word through a prophet. Amen. I'm hoping that tonight you done heard a prophet tonight in this place about what you're going through, about what you're worried about. About, amen, hallelujah, problems that's coming at you, people that's coming at you, amen, amen. And I hope you hear the voice of God saying, battle is not yours. Remember my promise to you. Remember my promise to you. You won't have to fight a bit. I see the wrong they did you. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Don't get yourself all up in a tizzy over it. Don't get yourself in the flesh over it. Don't worry about a thing. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord. And this story right here reminds me so much of the cross. You see, because at the cross, God tells us the same thing. The battle is not yours. Just like at the cross, Jehoshaphat, he found himself surrounded by three enemies. So we, when we lost and without God, we surrounded by three enemies too. Satan, our own sinful flesh, and the world. And just like Jehoshaphat, amen, we could say to God, we could say, God, I don't have no might against this great company. I can't handle the devil. I can't handle my sinful nature. I can't handle this world system. I can't handle these problems. I can't handle this predicament. I can't handle. God looks down and he says, you don't have to have might. Because when you were without strength, when you was without might, Christ Jesus came and died for you. You see, when I see that story, amen, I see exactly Calvary. You see, we're going to get to it, but the enemy, he destroyed himself in this story. And I want to let you know that that's just what happened at the cross. The devil might destroy himself at the cross. He had so much hate and so much rage against God that his own hate and rage destroyed him. If he could operate some self-control and not kill the Messiah, his kingdom would still be standing. But his own rage and hate and bitterness against God could not let the Son of God walk the face of the earth without torturing him on that cross. What the devil did at Calvary was die on his own sword. He committed suicide with his own hand. For had he known, he would have never crucified the risen Lord of glory. He wouldn't have done it, Mike. The Lord didn't lift a hand against Satan. No, he destroyed him with love. And Satan destroyed himself with hate, with anger, with bitterness. Some of the same things that's destroying you right now. And at that cross, amen, when Jesus defeated Satan, he says, come to me. All ye who are weary and heavy laden. If Satan done beat you up, but don't worry about it, I done beat him up. And if you come on my team, he'll never mess with you again. He won't be able to drag you to hell. He won't be able to ruin your life. He won't be able to mess with you again because I've already beaten him up. Salvation is easy tonight. It's as easy as ABC. You admit to God that you're a sinner. You admit that of yourself, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. Helpless, ignorant. Our only hope is in him. When we get saved, it is the quintessential surrender of us saying, God, we realize that the battle is not ours. It's yours. It's yours. We admit we sinners, and we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. His death, his burial, his resurrection. All that's left is a confession. And we do that by simply praying, y'all. Would you pray with me now? Say, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, I admit I'm a sinner. But I believe that you still love me. I'm done trying to save myself. I'm done trying to be good enough. I realize that the battle is not mine, that the battle is yours. I surrender. Make your victory my victory. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose. Lord, save me. Deliver me. Set me free. And use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. You have no idea how bad I wanted to continue tonight. But you know, we'll save some for next Tuesday. Amen. Amen. We got that plane, man. God is faithful. God is so faithful. So faithful. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Healing in your body right now. Sole of your feet to the crown of your head. Healing in your body. Favor upon your life. Blessings upon you right now. God bless you. It is be one of your best weeks coming up. One of your best weeks coming up. Things that used to hold you down ain't going to hold you down this week. Blessings upon your life. Blessings upon your life. May he be gracious. tell you, show your favor. Give your strength in your body. Woo, sound mind. Bless you.
What's up?
And keep you. And give you peace. Give you shalom. Give you shalom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed.